Okay, today's class we're going to be giving for Refuah Shlema of Moran Shira Bat Dibin Nadia Be'ezrat Hashem Shav Refuah Shlema for Hatzlacha of Yitzhak Ben Haya. Okay, Beruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. We are continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We've been describing the Eshet Chayil as a woman of power, a power that's unique to a woman. One of the challenges that a woman has comes from her enormous power. You see, a woman, by her nature, is a giver. She has a need to give, to support, to help, to worry. And when we look at the average woman, at least the average Jewish woman, we see the tremendous amount of responsibility that she needs to carry on her shoulders. It's worrying about her husband and figuring out a way to make him happy. It's worrying about every single child and every single one of their needs, keeping each one their own calendar, knowing exactly which things they like or don't like, whether it's food or things that they like to do, or it's doctor visits. A man has a hard time keeping his own calendar. But a woman somehow is capable to not just give of herself in one way to one person, and certainly not only to herself, but she's able to cut herself into many pieces and be there for so many people in so many ways. She has to have the energy for her children, the energy for her husband. Many women work as well, so she has to also do that. She has to take care of the physical home. She needs to take care of preparation of the food. She needs to worry about the clothing. I mean, in truth, if we actually sat down and thought about all the different responsibilities that the average Jewish mother has, we would say it's not possible that one person can take all of that on. If we haven't seen it with our own eyes, we would say it's not possible. That is the nature of a woman. And like I said, the average. I say average because there can be women who don't do their job or don't live up to what they're supposed to. There are always exceptions. But the normal Jewish woman, you'll find her doing way more than anything imaginable. That's what makes her an Eshet Chayil. And that's why she's a great woman, because no man really is able to handle so much. Men have their own difficulties and have their own work, but the amount of giving that a woman is capable of, I think we'll all agree, is more than what the man is able to do. Which is beautiful on one hand. On the other hand, it can bring a certain level of difficulty to a woman. You see, sometimes when you give so much of yourself, sometimes a person feels empty. A woman can feel, here I am doing for everybody here. I'm cooking for everybody. I'm worrying about everybody. Who's worrying about me? Who's thinking about me? Well, not my kids. I know they're not thinking about me. My husband, I don't think so either. So who exactly is thinking about me? Who's worrying about me? That's a feeling of a very busy woman who's doing for everybody, but it seems that nobody really is worried about her. And at some point, this woman feels very empty, very frustrated. You know, giving by nature makes a person stronger, makes the person more energetic. The power of a giver is that they make more power. So how come a woman that's giving and giving and giving can feel that she's lacking the energy and she's empty of giving? Something is missing in her giving that's not giving her the proper energy. Every great woman is going to have to deal with this issue. The not-so-great woman maybe will not have to deal with it so much. But the one that's really doing a lot is going to have to figure out the solution to this issue, because at one point she can become very exhausted, emotionally, physically, and she won't have anything to give. Where is the solution to this issue? How does an eshet chayil remain powerful given all the circumstance? So we're going to give an answer, but we have to explain it. Let me give you a mashal. A person goes for a day trip to the desert in the south of Israel. It's a very hot day. They take with them a water bottle. By the time they get there, it's so hot, they finish the water bottle in about a half hour. And now they're exhausted for the rest of the day because they ran out of water. They can't wait to get back and leave where they are, because the water that they have in their bottle simply isn't enough. Imagine the same person traveled to the north of Israel, to a very hot area as well, and they took a water bottle with them. You see, over there, there's really not much to worry about, because even when their bottle runs out of water, they have plenty of places to fill it up from. So long as you're connected to a spring of water, so your bottle isn't running out, because you always have where to fill it up from. That's going to be the answer to our question. Where is the water? Where is the energy? Where is the giving coming from? If it's coming from my bottle, if it's coming from me, so probably at some point it's going to run out. And then the struggles come and the frustration comes. But if I am able to connect to a spring of energy, that will never run out. That continues to give and give and give. And the chayil will continue to go stronger and stronger. That's a beautiful mashal. But what does it mean in real life? Where is the spring that a woman needs to be connected to? When we speak about a great woman, obviously we also speak about a great man. But in this area, a woman certainly needs it a lot more because of her nature. David HaMelech tells us about himself and where he got his energy from. He needed a lot of energy. Like a great woman, he was a man that was the king of the Jewish people, that comes with tremendous responsibility, worrying about a lot of people in a lot of different areas. David HaMelech was a great Talmid Chacham. He was a person in charge of the halakha. He was in charge of the well-being, the physical well-being of the Jewish people. And he had many, many struggles, many people fighting him, many issues from the outside, from this family. Someone might wonder, how does David HaMelech, till his last day, even the Malach HaMavet wasn't able to get to him so easily, because of his tremendous energy and focus on the purpose of life. How does a man with such great responsibilities and such great struggles continue? Says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Va'ani tamid imach. He says to Hashem, I am always with you. Ahazta beyad yemini. Because I am always with you, you hold on to my right hand. The right hand is the hand of power, the hand of strength. David HaMelech describes his life experiences as a man who is not walking alone. He describes himself as someone that's being held and given the strength to do. What David HaMelech is saying in this pasuk is that I didn't go through life carrying my own water bottle. Because if I did, I would have ran out a long time ago. But my life has someone that's constantly supplying me. Ani tamid imach. I am constantly walking with the springs of energy. And because I am with him, he's holding on to my right hand. And he's given me the strength to continue to give and continue to accomplish. You see, the way it works is that the creator of the world, as the Ramchal writes, is Tov. He's good. He's always giving. That's who Hashem is. That's the number one attribute that me and you are able to see clearly every day about the Creator. If we knew nothing about Him, but one thing we would definitely know is that He is a giver. He gave us life, every single one of us, and anyone that was ever born. And all the things that we see was given and is continuing to give because of Him. Hashem is a Tov. And the way it works is, when you're next to the generator of good that's constantly doing, if that's who you're with, then automatically your bottle is being filled up just by being next to him. The pasuk describes Hashem talking about David HaMelech. We saw how David HaMelech spoke about Hashem. Says Hashem, Matzati David Avdi. I found David, my servant. I skip. Well, I'm not going to skip, actually. Beshemen kochi meshachtiv. I found this great man, David, and I gave him a greater mission. Which means that when Hashem sees that the person is able to carry, He gives them more to carry. I found David Avdi, Beshemen Kochi Meshachtiv. So I anointed him to be the king of the Jewish people. The reason why I anointed him is because I saw he's able to do. Which, by the way, is a great reminder that when Hashem gives us a lot to do, that's a sign that He actually thinks we're someone special. A person might say, listen, how come I have to do so much? The lady next door is not doing that much. She doesn't have the kids that I have. She has less issues. She has more time for herself. She's not struggling the way I am. Everybody's got someone to look at and to say, well, they have it easier, at least in certain ways. But according to what we just read, if Hashem gave somebody more to do, it just means that they're capable of more. Asher yadi tikon imo. And says the Creator, the reason why I was able to give him such a huge job to take care of so many people in so many ways is because I have my hand with him. And because my hand is with him, my arm is constantly injecting strength into him. So if you ever wondered how a great man like David HaMelech is able to do all that he did, despite all the difficulties, you have to imagine that he's not walking by himself. You have to imagine that there is a constant energy being given to him by the Creator. Today they have these fighter jets that could only travel a certain distance. They can travel for 2 or 3 hours. But if they have to go for a 6-hour ride, how are they going to do it? Well, they have these big planes that somehow have the ability to fuel them in the air. While they're traveling, they fuel this little jet that it can continue to go another 2-3 hours. David HaMelech had the fuel jet with him all the time. His bottle never ran out because it was a constant refill from the one holding his hand. But probably there's no greater pasuk in all of Tehillim to describe the feelings of David HaMelech and his reality in life than the following pasuk. Says David HaMelech to us, first, he described the way he walked through life, and Hashem described how he walked with him. But now, says David HaMelech, let me tell you my feelings. Let me tell you how I get there. It's very nice to say, I walk with Hashem all day long. Great. Where do you find him? Where is he? So comes David HaMelech and gives us the secret of how a person says, Va'ani tamid imach. I am always with you. How does a person do that? I wish to have that all day with me. Im lo shiviti vedomamti nafshi, says David HaMelech, this is the way I live my life. This is the way I see myself. When I look in the mirror, this is what I see. So everyone looks in the mirror, they see whatever they see. Says David HaMelech, when I look at myself, this is what I see. This is who I am. Kegamul ale imo. He says, I feel with Hashem like an infant feels with his mother. If an infant had any kind of brain and could understand his situation, this is what he would realize. That at this point in his life, He is completely dependent on his mother. There is nothing that he can do. He can't even plan to eat because he doesn't know how to do that. He can't even decide if he's hungry. He can't give himself the food. Even if it was right in front of him, he can't get it. Anything and everything about his life, it's completely tied to his mother. Kegamul ale imo. He is not at all on his own. He's not at all independently able to do and accomplish anything. That is very clear. Says David HaMelech, if you want to know how a person is able to live with Tamid Imach, how is a person able to live constantly with the spring of godliness next to him? Well, he has to see himself as a person who is completely dependent on the Creator. The more you live off your water bottle, the more danger you have of feeling empty. But if you're like the infant to his mother, you don't have your own water bottle. You're not traveling with your own energy. You're depending on somebody else's water bottle. And the more you take from that water bottle, the more she has to give you. If a person feels completely dependent on the Creator, the energy will never stop. The more you look to Him, the more He feeds you. That's why Hashem made a mashal for us of this infant and his mother. That relationship is supposed to remind us of what we can be with our Creator. When we rely on His water bottle, when we wake up in the morning and understand it's not we that woke up, but He gave us life. It's not we that breathe, but He gives us breath. It's not we that do anything. If a woman says, look what I do. I feed, I buy, I take, I work, I give, I... That I is going to run out. That's a woman running off her own water bottle. But if it's, look how much energy I was given. Hashem gave me the energy today to do A and to do B and to do C. It's not a fake thing. It's a real thing. You can't fake it. If a person really be'emet feels when they wake up in the morning, Moda ani lefanecha, Hashem, I thank you for waking me up. I don't deserve to wake up. But you woke me up. And you gave me all that I have. And you continue to give me. And that's the way I live my life all day. I don't see myself doing. I see the Creator giving me to do. If you see the Creator giving you to do, you never run out. It's such an unbelievable formula. You only run out because you're seeing yourself as the one doing. A most beautiful pasuk in the Navi Yeshayahu describes this relationship and its effects. We one time touched on this pasuk, but in a different way. The pasuk describes a person who is tired. Ve'yafu ne'arim. Even young people could get tired. ויגעו, and they can be exhausted. ובחורים קשול יקשלו. Tiredness is for all people, all ages. It has to do with how much a person is doing. So the Pasuk describes, what does a person do who's tired? Physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired. What are you supposed to do? Says the Pasuk, very simple. Ve'kove Adonai yahalifu koach. The word kove means those who hope to Hashem, which means those who feel like this infant and they don't hope to have their own things, they just hope that Hashem gives them whatever they have. Ve'kove Hashem, those who are connected to the Creator, yahalifu koach. The word yahalifu means will exchange. They will take the tiredness and they will give it to the Creator and He will exchange it back with energy. Yarutsu velo yigao. They will run and they will not tire. Yelechu velo yi'afu. That's the formula of kegamul ale imo. If you're hoping that you're going to have the strength, you're going to be limited. If you find yourself as the source of giving, you're going to be limited. You're going to be frustrated. Again, this goes to all people, not only women. But we're discussing the Eshet Hayil. A, that's our subject, and B, she needs this more than anybody else, because she has a lot to give. Vekove Hashem yahalifu koach. Ultimately, for the great woman, she has to ask herself, whose water bottle are you drinking from? That is a very big question. Has a lot of consequences for many years and for many situations. If a person feels exhausted, of course a person can get tired and go to sleep. We're not talking about that. Obviously, a person has to relax. A person has to go to sleep like a normal person. That's the way of the world. Everybody needs that. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about physical tiredness. We're talking about every other kind of tiredness that we have to deal with in life. Koveh Hashem. Those who are hanging on Hashem are being held and constantly being given the energy and the strength. One of the great formulas to reach this reality, we're going backwards. We're going all the way from Hashem filling up our bottle and holding our hand and energizing us to figuring out how we got all together to be next to Him. So now we learned how, because we're like that infant. And now we have to learn how to become like that infant. Because it's in a class setting, it sounds very nice, it's very inspiring, it's very beautiful. Wow, I have Hashem, He's feeding me, He's the bottle, it's beautiful. I'm flying already. But when you go out into the reality of life, it doesn't work out that simply. There are certain things that sound great in the Beit Midrash, but in reality are very hard to live with. So we need to figure out how to get there. How do I really become such a person that's like the infant who's in total need of his mother? And the answer to this question has a lot to do with the Haggadah of Pesach, which we'll get to after. It's called Hakarat HaTov. Hakarat HaTov means if I am a person who sees the good and recognizes the good that comes to me in life, I'm going to have a much easier time to live with the Creator of the world. How can I rely on Hashem for everything? How can I walk with Him for everything? Well, if I don't have Hakarat HaTov, it means I don't see that what I have in my life is given to me. I almost feel like the owner of it. It's my accomplishments, it's my health, it's my house, it's my bank account, it's my family, it's my children. It's mine, mine, mine. Such a person obviously cannot be a gamul ale imo. That's not happening. But if a person is constantly aware that they're the recipient of the tov that was done for them, that's what Hakarat HaTov means. If you're constantly seeing how much good is being handed to you and given to you, and you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, I don't deserve life, nobody deserves life. And all the things that we get daily, if we truly saw ourselves as recipients, fortunate recipients of good that didn't have to come to us, but it did. The more we are makir tov, the more we're seeing Hashem really take care of us. From the minute we wake up till the minute we sleep, we really see Hashem. It's not like an imagination. I'm like an infant that hopes to his mother. That sounds like a open up your imagination and try to imagine yourself. There's no imagination here. It's real. But it's only real for a person who has Hakarat HaTov. Because if you have Hakarat HaTov, that's what you're living all day long. It's not an imagination. Why did you wake up today? When you were sleeping, you looked like half dead. Why you woke up now? Who woke you up? Who gave you back your neshama? Who brought you into this world? Why? Where did you get your energy? Why is your brain thinking? How did you get that idea? How are your eyes able to see? How are your ears able to hear? Do you know anything about the food that you ate, where it went? You have any idea what's happening in your body after you went for dinner? And just continue on and on and on all day long. This is not an imagination. It's not like let's imagine and try to figure out, oh, I'm like the baby. We're more needy to Hashem than the baby is to his mother. The baby is the imagination of Hashem. At the end of the day, the baby has many things that the mother can't give him. But we, to the Creator, we are the biggest infant. If you live with Hakarat HaTov and you realize how much we get every day, this is not an imagination. This is reality. A person who lives with such a reality, it's obvious that he's going to turn to Hashem everywhere and everything. It's obvious he's not going to think that it's his water bottle that's doing anything. So ultimately, living with Hakarat HaTov, which is a very big accomplishment, it's not just to be grateful. Hakarat HaTov is much bigger than that. It's a lifestyle. It's an understanding of life on a different level. A person who lives with Hakarat HaTov automatically becomes kegamul ale imo. It's an obvious formula. No imagination necessary. And how does a person develop Hakarat HaTov? We're going to speak today about a subject that's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. So I'm going to ask you forgiveness from the get-go. Because you may, and listeners may not fully understand what I'm saying, and come out feeling a little uncomfortable. I'm going to try my best that it should feel very comfortable. So I'm just giving you warning ahead of time. Before we get into that, we're going to ask a few questions. Open up to Parashat Vayeshev in Sefer Bereshit. And we see over there that Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef, his son, and he tells him, go to see how your brothers are doing. Vayomer lo, lech na re'e et shalom achecha. Go see how your brothers are doing. Ve'et shalom hatzon. And go see how the sheep is doing. V'hashiveni davar. And come back and give me the answer. The Midrash is stunned by this pasuk. Cannot believe what we just read. Says the Midrash, I understand that Yaakov wants to know and asks Yosef to see how his brothers are doing. Elamai ve'et shalom hatzon. What does that mean? See how the sheep are doing. And he puts them together. Et shalom achecha ve'et shalom hatzon. Go see your brothers, how they're doing, and how the sheep are doing. Almost like it's an equal. Says the Midrash, from here we learn that a person should ask b'shalom about the well-being of something that he gets benefit from. The sheep, they give you benefit. They gave Yaakov and his family wealth. They gave him wool. They gave him food. So you benefit from the sheep. So ask how they're doing. Lishol b'shalom davar sheyesh bo hana'a. Something gave you a hana'a, a pleasure, gives you a pleasure. You got to see how they're doing. This is Hakarat Hatov, says the Sihot Musar. Since you have pleasure from something, you have to recognize the good that that something does for you. So don't forget to ask how they're doing. So there's a few questions on this pasuk. Number one, why do you need to ask how the sheep is doing? The sheep had no intent to help Yaakov or his family. The sheep doesn't have free choice. The sheep didn't decide to be there for anybody. They're just robots that live according to the way Hashem created them. So what does that mean, you're giving them hakarat hatov? It's like giving an oven hakarat hatov for making all the food for Friday night dinner. Imagine someone standing in front of the oven and giving all the gratitude to the oven because he was the one that gave us food. That seems very silly. It's not the oven that gave you food. It's the person who made the oven work. They put on the oven. They put food in the oven. The sheep is just a robot. They're a machine. What do we have to go and appreciate what they did? They didn't do anything. Another question is that even if we did have to give them hakarat hatov, how exactly did we show hakarat hatov to the sheep if we asked Yosef's brothers how the sheep is doing? When did that message actually get received? When was that message read by the sheep? If you ask the brothers, tell me, how are the sheep doing? And they say, wonderful, great. The sheep are not even here. How did that show Hakarat HaTov to the sheep? It's a big question. In that same parasha, we find in the same story as Yosef was coming, and we know his brothers got together and said he deserves to die. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Reuven." Reuven heard. He heard what their plan was. "Vayatzilehu miyadam," and he saved Yosef from their hands. And we know because of him, they threw him into the boar. The Midrash says, what does it mean by Yishma Reuven? What do you mean he heard? Where was he? He was with them. When you say someone heard, it means he's not here. He was part of the Bedin. He was part of the whole decision. What do you mean he heard? Vayishma Reuven. So says the Midrash, this is the word Vayishma. It doesn't mean he heard the way literally it sounds. The word Vayishma means he understood or he thought about it. What did he think about? Says the Midrash, the Reuven says, you know, I thought, after the sin that happened when he switched the beds of his mother, so he thought that he was basically out, done. He lost his zechut to be from the tribes of Am Yisrael. Hayiti savur shenidahti. I thought I was thrown out of this family. And then I hear the dream of Yosef. What does it say over there? He said, I dreamt that 11 stars were bowing to me. Well, I'm one of the 11. So the person who counted me as part of the family in his dream, ve'eni matzilo, I'm not going to save him. Vayishma Reuven. Reuven is understanding he can't be a part of this. Maybe he deserves to die, but I can't be a part of it. Why? Hakarat HaTov. This man, when he told over his dream, he included me in the family. This also makes no sense. Because A, Yosef wasn't saying it to help Reuven. He was just saying over his dream. He was talking about himself and what happened in the dream. And B, it was Yosef's dream. Yosef didn't decide if Reuven would be part of the family or not. If he would have seen 10 stars, he would have said, I saw 10 stars. He's reporting the dream. Why does Reuven feel such hakarat hatov to a person who A, wasn't thinking about him, and B, was only sharing the dream that he was shown? The obvious questions that we know, we've heard before, maybe the ones I just shared with you, are not as popular to ask about. But the obvious ones are when Moshe was told to tell Aharon that he needs to turn the waters of Egypt to blood. Not you, Moshe, you can't do it. Again, by Sephardea, the same story. By the plague of the frogs, who's gonna hit the water? Aharon. Emor el Aharon. Hashem says, go tell Aharon, you can't do it. By the third Makkah, again, Hashem tells Moshe, tell Aharon, he needs to hit the dirt for the lice to come on Egypt. You can't do it. Why? We know the famous answer. Why? Because the water saved Moshe's life. He was in the water when his mother put him there, when she had to let him go before the Egyptians found him. And from there, he was saved by the daughter of Paro. So the water housed him. You're going to make the water dam? And the dirt, when the dirt covered the Egyptian that he killed, that saved him. Well, it really only saved him for one day, because the next day they already found out about it. But it saved you for a day. So now you can't hit it. You can't make from the dirt lice. No way. Those are examples that are very famous. And the obvious question is, the water didn't do anything. The dirt didn't do anything. They're acting as dirt. Somebody put the dirt on them, but the dirt didn't do it. That's the nature of dirt, the nature of water. And by the way, it's not the same dirt either. It's not the same water. But yet, the expectation is you have to have Hakarat HaTov. To who? They didn't do anything for me. So here comes the sensitive part. We're going to learn together the words of the Chovot HaLevavot. So in case you get upset, you know where to direct your pain. Chovot HaLevavot, I'll give you the exact address. You could look it up yourself. It's in Sha'ar HaBitachon, in Perek Dalet, fourth chapter. One of the most famous chapters in all of Jewish books. The fourth chapter of the Chovot HaLevavot. He writes over there, quoting one of the great people. He says, Ani Tameya, this great man said, I am very, very disturbed. I'm baffled. Mimi shenoten lahavero, from people who give something to another. Ve'ahar kach, and after they give something to another, Yaskir lo tovato, he reminds him of what he gave him. Ve'ibakesh lehodot oto alav, and he's waiting for a thank you. You know what I've done for you? You've heard that before? After all that I did for you? I do so much for these kids. I do so much for this family. I'm shocked. What kind of person are you? You do someone a favor and you're waiting for the person to thank you? I'm shocked. He says, Ve'yoter anitameya, and I'm even more shocked, he said, Mimi shekibel torfo al yedei aher, the recipient. I'm shocked by the recipient that he received something from someone. Ve'yikanatlo, and he humbles himself to the giver. Ve'yfayesehu, and he appeases him. Ve'yishabehehu, and he praises him. He says, thank you so much. You don't know what you did for me. You gave me a kidney. You have no idea what you did for me. You gave me your house for the weekend. Thank you so much. You picked me up. You gave me money. He says, I can't believe it. The recipient is telling the guy how much he feels appreciation for what he did for him. He can't believe it. He cannot believe that people are out there waiting for a response because they gave someone something, and he can't even, and more so, he says, he can't believe how someone who receives something is going on and on, how much they appreciate and praise the person who helped them. Now, this hurts the ear. The first one, we can buy a little. But that wasn't even bothering him so much. The second one, it hurts to hear that. You're upset that a child tells his mother thank you? Can't understand it. Ehad min ha-hasidim. He can't understand. Someone gave you a kidney, you don't understand why he's just non-stop praising him? You don't understand that? You can't understand it. Can't understand it. Tameya, he's baffled. It goes against the very nature of the way we grew up. Where hakarat hatov, thanking people, is like, what do you mean? It's like the most basic, elementary derech eretz. Say thank you. And comes the Chovot HaLevavot in all his gadlut and says he can't believe it. Doesn't understand it. What doesn't he understand? So let me explain to you, in all fairness, when great men speak, listen first what they're trying to say. What doesn't he understand? So let me tell you what he does understand. That we may not understand. That's probably the problem. What he does understand is that everything in this world that comes to a person, whether it's great or the opposite, is coming only because the Creator wants the person to have that great thing or not so great thing. That's why the Torah tells us, warning, do not take revenge. Don't even harbor that revenge in your heart. How can I not take revenge? How do I not even think about it? Answer is because they didn't do it. You think that person hurt you? He didn't. What do you mean? But he hurt me. Look, I have it on video. No, he didn't hurt you. He could not hurt you if the Creator doesn't allow that to happen. And if he wouldn't have done it, there would be another way to hurt you. You and him have nothing to do with each other. If someone took something of yours, he didn't take it. He cannot take it because the Creator runs the world. Anything that happens to you in your life, whether you got it from heaven like the man or you got it from another person, whether it's something beautiful or something not so beautiful, you have to know the Creator is the one who brought that upon you. It's not your mother that gave you the milk. It's not that person that gave you the kidney. It's not the person paying your bills. It's not them. If they wouldn't have paid, if they wouldn't have paid it, somebody else would have paid it. If they wouldn't give you the kidney, you figure out another way to get it. Who gave you the kidneys when you were born? The same one who took care of them then, will figure it out now. That is an authentic Jewish mindset. That the Creator of the world is involved in everything in my life. And nobody could help me and nobody could hurt me unless he signs off. And therefore, if I receive something, it's because he wants me to have it. And if I don't receive something, it's because he doesn't want me to have it. Unless I'm reckless and I do something to cause myself not to have what I deserve. Well, let's say I don't work. Hashem wants me to have, but I don't work. So then you're reckless. Hashem doesn't want you to get hit by a car. But if you cross the street with cars coming and you're reckless, then that's your problem. That's your choice. But otherwise, if you're acting responsibly and doing what you're supposed to do, you never have to worry. Just worry about yourself. Worry about doing things that make you the proper vessel to receive from the Creator. Nothing else matters. Nobody could hurt you. Nobody could help you. That is the reality that the Chovot HaLevavot is very, very well aware of. It's clear from all over the Torah, this reality. It's not like the Hidush of the Chovot HaLevavot. We see it by the story of Yosef and his brothers. When they finally met up together and all the pain and suffering they caused them, they thought for sure he's going to do something terrible to them. I mean, who wouldn't think otherwise? But he tells them, "Lo atem shelachtem otihena." You didn't send me here. You think I'm upset with you? I was never upset with you. When I was in Egypt as a slave, you think I was thinking about you? I wasn't thinking about you. Because you didn't send me here. You think when I sat in jail, I was thinking about, oh, my brothers, what they did to me? No. You didn't put me in jail. You think all those years, it's not now I'm not thinking about you. I never thought about you. Lo atem shelachtem otihena. You didn't send me here. Now, did you do the wrong thing and you have to figure out your record with the Creator? That's your job with Him. That's nothing to do with me. You acted, you volunteered, that's your problem. Maybe you have to make teshuvah. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not here because of you. I'm here because the Creator wants me here. And that's how I live my life. And that's why Yosef is such a great man. So says the Chovot Levavot, what is going on here? Why am I non-stop thanking somebody for what God gave me? Every time someone gives me, it's not him. God gave it to me. So what am I thanking him for? Thank the Creator, don't thank him. Says the Chovot HaLevavot, let me tell you why you should thank him. He says you should thank him for one of two reasons. When someone does you a favor, make sure you thank him. One of two reasons. Reason number one, he says, Al libo hatov lo. Because he had good intentions. Listen, he wanted to help you. Whether he could help you or not is irrelevant. But lema'aseh, he has the choice to want to help you or not want to help you. That's his free choice. Now, he could want to help you and it won't work. But the very fact that he chose to want to help you, that alone is enough to say thank you. So I'm not thanking you for the kidney, because the kidney I would have without you. I mean, I wouldn't tell him that. That's not the point. But that's what you're supposed to be in reality thinking. I thank you for wanting to give me a kidney. Because you could have wanted and it wouldn't work. You could have gave it to me and it didn't work by me. Many reasons why it wouldn't have happened. So thank you for wanting to give me a kidney. I'm not saying you should say that again. But that's what you're thanking a person is for. That's it. I'm thanking you for wanting to help me. You didn't help me. But you wanted to help me? Hakarat HaTov. Just want you to know, I know it's bothersome to hear this. Just want you to know, on the flip side, how much of an expectation, according to the Torah, Hakarat HaTov has for every recipient. Don't think for a second like we're belittling it. You have to understand, the laws of Kibud Avaim, which are based on Hakarat HaTov, yes, your mother didn't give birth to you. Yes, she didn't feed you. Yes, she didn't give you the house. Yes, she didn't pay for your clothes. Yes. But at the end of the day, the laws of Kibud Avaim and the amount we owe our parents just for having good intentions is halachot that great rabbis have said that they're lucky that they didn't have a father and mother because the halachot are too difficult. Because the hakarat ha-tov halachot of kibud av ha-em are impossible. And all for what? Because of their good intentions. Don't think we're belittling the obligation of hakarat ha-tov. Our history is full of great people who excelled in this area. I once saw a story about the great Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who lived here in our city. He once went to a wedding. This is going back 30 years, maybe more. He went to a wedding and he wrote a check as a gift for $500. Rav Moshe Feinstein was not a very wealthy man. Not at all, actually. And $500 in those times, like giving a guy today, maybe $10,000, maybe more. So they thought that probably he made a mistake. Maybe he's getting old. That maybe instead of $50, he wrote $500, he added a zero. So they took the check, and they gave it back to him. The Hatan gave it back to him. You know, Moshe Feinstein's going to write me a $500 check. So the rabbi says to him, it's not a mistake. Of course, to you, $500 is not enough. Your grandfather was my rabbi in Europe. He says, for your grandfather, what he did for me? I wish I can give you much more than $500. For who? Hakarat atov? Not for the rabbi whose Torah he didn't give him because Hashem gave him. But his grandson. Hakarat atov for what his grandfather did. So this is not in any way, God forbid, minimizing the nature of the obligation. But it's trying to get our attention to where exactly we're recognizing. So says the Havot Levavot, you're thanking the person either because of their goodwill, that they wanted to help you. And then he says the fact that Hashem chose that person to do good for you. So what does that have to do with that person? Well, it says the Havot Levavot, Hashem chose that person to do good for you, even if he didn't intend to. But if he chose that person, it must be, we have a rule, megalgelin zechut al yedei zakai, that if someone does something good, Hashem finds a good person to do it through them. So that person must have done other good things in their life, which made him the recipient of the zechut to do good for you. So you're thanking the person for doing good in his life so that he could be the vehicle to do for you. So those are the only two reasons the Havot Levavot could figure out why we thank people. We never thank them for what we have, but we thank them for either their good intent or we thank them for their good deeds which cause them to become the vehicle of the Creator to give us what we need. That's the words of the Havot Levavot. Now in truth, he didn't fully answer our question. Because in his answers, he is able to answer why we thank people. A person has good intent, or a person has zechut, merit. But these answers still haven't answered some of our questions. The sheep didn't have zechut, and they had no intent. Why are we thanking them? Yosef didn't have the intent for sure. You could say maybe he had the zechut, so maybe that could work. Because he did something good in his life. He was the one that God gave him the dream, and that's how Reuven knew that he would be counted in the family. Okay, that we could say. But sheep we can't say. And certainly the water, we can't say. And the dirt, we can't use the Havot HaLevavot's answers. So he answered, not arguing with him, he's saying good, but there's still more. Those answers don't apply to inanimate objects. Those only apply to humans. So we need an answer. The answer that we could give to this question, the very fundamental answer, this kind of answer is something that lives with us, can live with us every day of our lives, all the time. You see, in life, there are two types of people. There are takers. That's the way we are created into this world, as takers. And then there are givers. Takers don't have hakarat hatov. They have a hard time having hakarat hatov because takers by nature feel everything belongs to them. So much so that even if they received a lot, they still feel that they were shortchanged because they really deserve more because they're takers. So taker and hakarat hatov, it's not a good shidduch. It doesn't go. Hakarat hatov is only by people who are givers. A giver by nature, when they receive something, it hits them. I'm a giver, but now I received something. And I feel not only that I received something, but I also feel I have like an obligation. I need to give back. One of the big challenges of life is to feel like a receiver. Most people, because the way we grew up as children, we weren't capable of knowing that we're receiving. We just took it for granted that we received life and we received the sun and we received everything that we have in life. Our own parents, we take for granted. We grew up that way. We weren't capable then of receiving. Little children are very selfish. It's amazing how selfish they are. They did nothing wrong. That's the way they were created. They want all of their mother's attention. They want everything they can get their hands on if they want it. Tremendous, extreme selfishness. That's a human at birth. And when we're young, we have that selfishness and we're not ready, we're not capable, we're not mature enough to understand the concept, oh wow, someone gave me something that I don't really deserve. It takes many years for a person to be able to comprehend that. That what my mother gives me, I don't deserve. Like, my mother doesn't have to give it to me. It's extra, it's a bonus. What age does that happen? It's sometimes never. But even the capability of that only comes maybe when they reach bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah, maybe. Probably in American society, it's much later. It's not an automatic either. Now you have capability. It doesn't mean you're going to use it. You could be a selfish person your whole life. And always feel shortchanged and always feel like it's coming to you. And never really appreciating your mother. Yeah, you buy her a card on her birthday, but you're not really appreciating that your mother, what she gave you and how much you owe her. You don't really appreciate it. It's almost like you feel bad for somebody. Tell them thank you. It takes a lot of work to become a giver and to feel like a receiver. The biggest part of being a giver, or the biggest part, let's say, of hakarat hatov, is to feel like you're receiving something. That is a big challenge. That what you have in life, you don't own. It's not coming to you. You don't deserve it. And all the things that we could say about that. You're a recipient. You're a fortunate, lucky recipient. That's it. It takes a long time and a lot of work for a person to develop the ability to be a receiver. When we're a receiver, we have a lot of good things coming to us. When we're a receiver, now we show appreciation. When we're a receiver, now we feel obligated mostly to the Creator. And now that we're obligated to the Creator, we can actually listen to Him. That's the way He made it. So that we could listen to His good advice. We feel obligated. We're not smart enough to know what He's saying to us. But we feel obligated, so we do it anyway. In the end, we realize how good it is for us. But all of a sudden, we feel obligated to the Creator. And we say, okay, fine, Hashem, I'm your Eved. Whatever you tell me, I'll do. I owe you everything. We develop a relationship with the Creator. And perhaps one of the most beautiful things that happen to a receiver is they become kegamul ale imo. One of the most beautiful things that the receiver who's developed this ability to be a receiver, he becomes like an infant to his mother. That's how he lives his life with Hashem. Because that's what he sees all day long. No imagination needed. That's what he sees. All day long. He's just getting and getting and getting. And he knows nobody else could give him. Kegamul ale imo can only come from someone who has developed the ability to receive. And once we understand that, we can clearly explain that the Creator of the world wants us to have hakarat hatov to everyone and everything that helps us. Why? So that we can learn to be receivers. Forget what the sheep was thinking. It doesn't matter what they're thinking. Bottom line, from them, you got something. Did that register? Did you realize that your coat is from them? So you got something. There was once a great rabbi in Europe who they got in town, a visitor from China. A Chinese fellow, they never saw a Chinese fellow. So he looked Chinese, he dressed Chinese. And of course, when something different comes into a place, some people, they start to make jokes, they laugh. So the rabbi was very strong when he heard somebody make a joke. He says, you're making a joke to make fun of a man from China? He says, do you know how much tea we drink that comes from China? Who are we thanking? The tea, the Chinese? China? I don't know, but that's not the point. The point is, if you don't feel like a receiver, then you're not going to be able to have hakarat hatov. So the Creator says, wherever and whoever benefits you, make sure you feel like you received something. You have hakarat hatov to the water. Why? Because you received something from it. Doesn't matter if the water did want to help you or didn't want to help you. It's making you a recipient. Because that recipient mentality is going to make you kegamul ale imo. Because once you realize the water gave you something, then you start becoming smarter and realize, wait, it's not the water that gave me something. Hashem gave me something. To become a kegamul ale imo, you have to first be a receiver of the highest caliber. So it doesn't matter where you get what you get. It doesn't matter shalom ahecha or shalom hatzon, what's the difference? At the end of the day, God gave you whatever your mother gave you or whatever the sheep gave you. It makes no difference. God gave it to you. But you're a receiver of both. And you need to feel like a receiver. And therefore, you're obligated, says the Creator, to have hakarat hatov, to everyone and everything. It doesn't matter. They didn't have intention to help you. It doesn't matter. They can't help you anyway. It doesn't matter. How are you going to feel kegamul aleimo if you don't feel that someone's giving you something? So that means our entire existence, where we're constantly being given by our parents, by our grandparents, by our friends, by our children, by our friends, by the sanitation department, by the police, wherever and whoever is giving us, that is supposed to constantly be in a training of hakarat hatov, a training in receiving something that I don't deserve. When people see the garbage man come by and take the garbage, yeah, I pay taxes. I pay too much taxes. He's getting too much money. That's not the right attitude. He's doing you a favor. Remember, you're receiving something. It doesn't work for you. Maybe you had to pay taxes. Maybe he pays his bill. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But you received something from that person. To be kegamul aleimo, one must raise their hakarat hatov meter, which can only happen when they feel like they're constantly receiving. That means every relationship we have in life, how many times in life we feel such gratitude towards somebody? It's always meant to be just a step to see the Creator that He gave you. When you feel such awe for your parents or your grandparents or whoever helped you, your rabbi, your teacher, your whoever, you have to remember that's just, it's a great obligation, but that's not where it ends. That's just to get you to open up your mind, to start receiving and to see where it's really coming from. And then you become kegamul aleimo, because you're living kegamul aleimo every day. It's your whole life. You're constantly seeing the Creator in everything that you have in your life. It's nonstop. And from hakarat hatov, you come to emuna. Real emuna, powerful emuna, can only come through hakarat hatov on a high level. The higher the hakarat hatov, the more powerful is the emuna. That's what we see in the Midrash. The Midrash says, on the Pasuk, Az Yashir Moshe, after Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim and the sea was split, Az Yashir Moshe, it was then that Moshe started to sing, and Bnei Yisrael, says the Midrash, even though already we saw in Egypt, Vaya'amen ha'am, way back when Moshe came to talk to them, that he was going to take them out of Egypt. It says, Vaya'amen. They had emuna. But says the Midrash, their emuna at the time was not up to par. Not all emuna is equal. You could trust a person, for example, with $100. Doesn't mean you're going to trust them with $1 million. You need more emunah for that. Not all emunah is equal. So yeah, they had emunah in Mitzrayim, but they messed up again in Egypt. Like it says, Avotenu beMitzrayim lo eskilu nefleotecha. Their emunah was weak. When it was tested, it didn't do so well. But when they came to the Yamsuf, says the Midrash, and they saw what Hashem did for them, at that point, Az Yashir Moshe, that was the high level of emunah, which is hinted in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Tashuri Merosh Emunah. The word Tashuri, the Midrash is understanding, is Lason Shir. Tashuri, you sang Merosh Amana, from the top of emunah. Says the Midrash, you know what that means? It means that when they were in Mitzrayim, they had emunah. But that emunah wasn't from hakarat hatov. It wasn't coming from an experience of receiving. So that emunah was weak. But when they saw what Hashem did for them, they lived through the miracles. It says, Tashuri Merosh Emunah. You got to the level of Tashuri, you got to the level of singing, they got to the level of prophecy because they reached Rosh Amana. Why the difference? Some explain beautifully. Because this Emunah was preceded by Hakarat HaTov. The Emunah that came first was just Emunah. Person says, listen, let me teach you the laws of Emunah. Here is why you should have Emunah. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Beautiful. They have Emunah. But that Emunah is not that, it's not that strong. It's easily breakable. It's hinging on weak foundations. But Rosh Amanah, you have high level of Emunah. That comes from Emunah that came from Hakarat HaTov. And that's why the night of Pesach, when we sit down and strengthen our Emunah, ve'emunatcha balelot, the Pasuk says. Emunatcha, the Emunah we get Emunah balelot, two nights. Le'agid ba'boker hasdecha. Boker, singular. Ba'emunatcha balelot. Two nights. Why two? Some hint beautifully. The two nights of Emunah in the Jewish calendar. One is the night of the Seder and one is Shevi'i Shel Pesach. Emunatcha balelot. Two powerful nights where a person is able to grab Emunah like no other. So comes the night of Pesach and we're coming to fill up with Emunah. So what do we do the night of Pesach? We talk about Hakarat HaTov. We pull up the parasha of Bikurim, of the Jewish farmer who comes to bring his first fruits to the Kohen. And he expresses over there all of his appreciation for what Hashem has done for him. From the past, Arami Oved Avi, how Hashem saved us from Lavan. He saved us from Esav. He brought us to this land. He saved us from all the different things that got to this point. Now I'm here. I'm a farmer. I'm planting. I have fruits here. I'm coming to show you my appreciation. That parasha, the Pesukim in the Haggadah, come from that parasha. And one might ask, what does this have to do? Maybe that night we should be reading the parashiyot of Shemot, Parashat Va'era, Parashat Bo, Parashat Beshalach, four parashiyot dealing with Yetziat Mitzrayim. You want to read more, go back to Bereshit. You pick out a few Pesukim from the farmer who's bringing his first fruits as an expression of Hakarat HaTov. What does that have to do with Pesach? But according to what we learned today, it has everything to do with Pesach. Because if you're coming tonight to bring Emunah into your life, well, you want that Emunah to come through Hakarat HaTov. Because that Emunah will last with you. It's going to be with you every day. All day. Because there's never a time where a person is not receiving something. And if you have Hakarat HaTov, your Emunah is power. It's not a belief. It's not an imagination. It's a real life experience that happens every moment. And that is the solution of the Eshet Chayil. We spoke at the beginning of the class. Eshet Chayil, the woman of strength who's giving and giving and giving. And at some point, she feels empty. Who's giving me? Who's taking care of me? according to what we learned today, the solution is very simple. At least it's simple to understand. The Eshet Hayil who comes with her own water bottle is going to run out of water. But if she's Kegamul Ale Imo, which comes through Hakarat HaTov, which comes through a feeling of appreciation for everyone and everything, and to use that feeling to climb to the Creator who's really giving it to them, to open our pores of giving, of receiving, to know how to be a receiver, and to use that to express gratitude to the one who gave us. When we have such an experience, such a woman, such a person in general, Pekoveh Hashem, Yahalifu Koach, their strength doesn't run out because their water keeps coming. There's no stopping to that water. And that's something to work on for every person. And that's why for the great woman, the time of tefillah is so special. Berachot in the home are so special. The blessings, real blessings, not just the words. Such a person is living on a different level of energy. They don't stop. They don't get tired. They keep going. How could they stop when the energy is flowing? This is one of the great attributes of the Eshet Hayil, whose strength isn't temporary, but continuous for all and throughout her life. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocheh to live life kegamul ale imo.